Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beauty Sports. I am your host, Addie Miles Abbott. This is your one-stop shop for everything women's professional sports. The date is September 11th, and man, oh man, has it been a week of women's professional sports. Stay tuned, because here is your weekly sports talk. All right, let's start off this week with the LPGA, with the Solheim Cup wrapping up earlier this week on September 6th. Toledo, Ohio put on an absolute show for these women. The crowds were wild. People were absolutely engaged the entire tournament, as they should have been. These women put on a clinic. The final tournament ended up being Europe taking the win over USA 15-13. But 16 out of the 20 matches went all the way to 18 holes. That is absolutely unheard of. These women were there to compete. These women wanted to win for their countries. It was such a good thing. The biggest travesty of the whole thing, now we got to wait 2 years. Now we got to wait 2 years until they play off in Spain again. This tournament should be done multiple times a year. It is just absolutely amazing. I love it. The way that they switch up the style of play on the same course, different matchups, different people playing against each other constantly. It makes for an incredibly exciting tournament, and it makes it exciting for the players. There's something new every single day to look forward to. So a couple key matchups throughout the tournament. Well, you know what? Honestly, really off the bat, we need to look at Team Europe. Leona Maguire, one of the youngest players, went undefeated in all five matches. She played her university at Duke. She was 5-under after 14 holes, ended off with a record of 4-0-1. And she had the best record of the tournament. It was just an incredible showing from her, and then having the best record on the winning team. Leona wasn't somebody that people were really thinking she was going to lead the charge for Team Europe. You know, Anna Nordqvist was there, Georgia Hall, you know, Kortz Manson. There was a lot of very key players for Team Europe, and everybody walked away talking about Maguire. She was absolutely incredible and definitely set the stage for herself heading and continuing on throughout the LPGA this year. With Lexi Thompson versus Anna Nordqvist, the AIG champion coming into this, Anna Nordqvist versus Lexi Thompson. Just the battles, Nelly Korda versus Georgia Hall, Austin Ernst versus Nana Kortz Manson. It was just star-studded after star-studded after star-studded. It was absolutely incredible. Thompson, you know, really struggled with her putting, which ultimately they ended up tied with two holes to end, and they ended up on a tie at the very end there. But there was no doubt that Thompson was struggling with her putter the whole match. It was, you know, one of the things that people talked about her a lot is she going to be able to sharpen up her short game? And approaching the green, she was doing so well that everybody and her coaches were even saying at post-game interviews, you know, she's really, really worked on that part of her game. 20 feet away from the hole, 5 to 6 feet, she just gave up stroke after stroke. So tied with two holes to play, ended on a tie. Very, very competitive match between those two. Nelly Korda versus Georgia Hall. You know, Nelly, the same thing. Americans aren't necessarily known for their putting. And that is just where Georgia put it over the edge. She ended up winning the match. Georgia was down by one heading into the 18th. And then out of nowhere, Nelly wins the match up by one. Just, you can't even imagine the turnaround in the last two holes of that round. Two absolute titans, world number one versus the runner-up at the AIG. Just incredible. And then the same thing with Austin Ernst and Madsen. You know, also going the distance, making it to the 18th. Both eagled both eagled the second. Could you imagine starting that singles and you're both just dialed in, eagling the second? And they too would end up with a tie. The biggest shock for me on the negative side of this was Sofia Popov ending with the hardest round, you know, down by six, done after eight. That's a tough way for her to go. She was playing such good golf, champion last year. You know, just was expecting a little bit more out of Popov. There's no question. Capuccio, you know, the thing with her throughout this match is she is incredibly hard on herself. She is by far the most emotional player on the tour. Caught numerous times slamming her putter into the ground, slamming it into her bag, slapping her leg. You know, for this young up-and-coming player, she really needs to watch her body language and the way she presents herself, especially when you're representing your country. It was the most talked about thing for her over the weekend, which is unfortunate because she was playing really good golf. And here's the key: when she had a partner, when she had somebody to talk to. So when she was paired up, she was playing incredible golf. They worked together. They were talking. It seems to be when she was by herself, seemed to struggle a little bit. So I really hope Capuccio really works on that, because heading into the next tournament, I expect a lot of really, well, everyone's talking about what she's going to be like after such a, I don't want to say negative tournament, but it was definitely the one thing people were talking about was her body language. There's no question. A couple other noticeables here, Madeline Sangstrom and Charlie Hall. Madeline Sangstrom ended up with a record of 1-2-0, and Charlie Hall ended up with a 2-2-0. So really, really strong performances from these women. All in all, Europe taking the championship over USA, which I'm a bit surprised of, but if you watched it, you wouldn't be surprised. They were hitting shot after shot. It was absolutely incredible. Next Solheim Cup will be in Spain in 2 years. We should do it every year, no question. So now, moving on from the Solheim Cup, our next LPGA event will be the Cambia Portage Classic, September 16th to 19th in Westland, Oregon. Everybody is going to be wanting to see how these women, Nelly Korda, obviously eyes on her constantly, Brooke Henderson back in the conversation. How are these women going to really perform and show up as they head into the second half of this LPGA season? Now making our way over to the National Women's Soccer League. We had 4 games lined up for you this week. Ended up being 3. Ended up having a little bit of an issue in Washington, the oil rain game, but we'll get to that. So once again, just a quick reminder, NWSL Championship, Providence Park has been chosen in Portland to host the championship game. Very exciting stadium. I'm so happy that it's going to be there. So starting off with September 10th, Dash vs. Red Stars, they ended up tied 1-1. Really no surprise here. The 11th, Pride versus Racing Louisville. The two teams, both Pride and Racing Louisville, they have tied in the last 2 matches against each other. Only difference is that Pride is sitting in a playoff spot and Racing Louisville is sitting in 9th positions and are 6 points out of a spot. Obviously, everybody's going to be watching Nadia Nadim as they're racing to 4 points, and Louisville is just going to be relying on her an absolute ton heading down the final stretch here for them. But one thing I have absolutely loved about the Pride, you know, Ashlyn Harris didn't get chosen for the Olympic team this year. It is what it is. She becomes the all-star NWSL leader in saves. So just she's an incredible tender. But since not being chosen, I feel like any competitor, she's out there to make people know and recognize that she should have been. And I'm all into this. Ashlyn has been outstanding, has been a wall for Pride, and I love it. I absolutely love the way that she is playing right now. So Pride takes a 3-1 lead over Racing Louisville. Racing Louisville really needing those points. Courage, Portland. Also a very interesting dynamic between these two. Number one versus number three ranked. Very high level competition. Portland currently sitting at 35 points. Courage sitting at 29 points. In all five meetings this year, Courage have beaten the Storm. It's four wins and a draw. It's unbelievable that it's gone that way. So Portland, this is their first win. They take a 1-0 lead over the Courage. And then always we're watching out for Sophia Smith, leading the NWSL in both shots and shots on target. Shots 59, shots on target 24. And she is on pace, if she continues to play in all regular season games for Portland, to reach 90 shots on goal, which would set a new club record. And here's where it gets a little bit interesting this week, is the Washington Spirit and OL Reign. Washington forfeits due to breaching of the league's medical protocol. So they didn't really get into too much detail. They wouldn't disclose who, why, what, when, where. But OL Reign will receive the 3 points for that game. So OL Reign sitting in a very good playoff spot. Washington is, but probably not in a good position to give up as many points as, you know, they probably would have enjoyed having those points. So in the league or FIFA guidelines, the game will be recorded as a 3-0, in favor of OL Reign. So once again, very limited information as to what happened, who, what, where, when, why, but we only ended up having those three games for you this week. Now the NWSL takes a massive break till September 25th. Teams are going to their international postings and they will be coming back to compete for the final month of the season. So teams that are playing for their country, they're going to go back. They're going to train with them for 2 weeks and then they're going to come back and they're going to compete in the final stretch of the season. So October is going to be absolutely insane for women's soccer. I cannot wait. And I can't wait to see what the international teams are putting together as well and see what their training camps are. So that is what we have for this week with the NWS. Now, heading off to the WNBA, and oh man, is it starting to heat up. We are keeping our eyes on the 5th to 9th spots in the standing. Chicago and the Lynx clinched their playoff spots. Absolutely incredible at the beginning of the week. Now, as we do know, Dallas has clinched that 7th playoff spot. So now it is just a complete brawl between New York, Washington, and LA for that 8th and final spot. Connecticut and Dallas facing each other this week. And as you could probably feel, Dallas Wings are wanting every single point that they can. Vicky Johnson is going to need consistent big games out of their big names. Arike Abangwale, Carly Collier, Alicia Gray, big minutes for big players. And that's exactly what Vicky Johnson did. She kept them on the floor the entire game. Connecticut coming off a 9-game winning streak, which they have now built on. With this game, ultimately Connecticut taking 83-56. Kurt Miller in this game took an opportunity to really reach down deep into his roster and allow some players to get some rest during this game. Heading into it, Dallas was up 12 wins, 16 losses. And it's just the basketball that they're playing right now is, they're playing as if they're in the playoffs. Dallas needs to continue to hit the threes that they are, continue to push the pace of the ball that they are. Vicky Johnson, is absolutely driving this group with all the experience that she has as well, absolutely pushing the trajectory of this team. They may have not come out on the top of this game, but they proved that they're in the conversation. They're wanting to talk. We know the Lynx clinched their playoff spot, and they actually passed the Storm in the standings, which is unbelievable. Washington versus Seattle, Connecticut versus the Sparks, LA. But the spotlight game for me this week was New York versus Dallas, because this was the game. This was the game where Dallas clinched their spot and made it what it needed to be to get there. They win this game by 1 point. By 1 point, goes down to the absolute seconds, which makes me believe that this may be the best WA playoff season yet. It is going to be cutthroat the entire way. And I'm going to tell you, maybe the most entertaining player for me as of right now is New York's head coach, Walt Hopkins. There was one point I thought the ref was firing up the court, and it was Walt. Walt was just running with them back and forth. I look over, sometimes he's playing defense. Look over, sometimes he's right in the play. Walt's in it, man. Walt wants to win. So he, for me, has been the most exciting coach to watch. There's no doubt about that. So for him, with New York sitting currently in this last playoff spot, he is going to be, well, that was a huge game for them. They ended up losing by one. Nothing you can do about that. Off to the next. This week, this upcoming week for these teams is going to be huge. It is going to solidify the playoffs. It's going to solidify who are watching come the final eight. It's going to be incredible. Washington, Seattle. Seattle ends up taking that game 105-71. The Storm were hands on the wheel this entire game. It was Bird, Jewel, Samuelson, 60.9% off the three-point line. And the Mystics were only 27%. They just dominated the entire game. Washington had their main three on the floor for 23 minutes. Natasha Cloud, 23 minutes. Tina Charles, 24 minutes. Atkins, 27 minutes. Just played incredible. With those minutes, though, Charles and Cloud had a collective 10 points. You know, like Washington just needs more out of their big hitters coming down this big stretch. So final seven have been decided for the WNBA. Cannot wait to see who clinches that eighth spot and where we end up. And we will be watching that this week. So we're going to get into a little hockey news before we end on the U.S. Open, which it was history making this year. The U.S. Open was incredible this year. But to start off with the PWHPA, I know that I mentioned this before, but I will continuously mention it so we do not forget about it. They have announced a new showcase November 12th to 14th in Thurso, Nova Scotia. And there's a lot of incredible things why this is so amazing, but there's never been a women's professional hockey game played in Nova Scotia. Huge. And that's what the PWHPA was created for. The Professional Women's Hockey Player Association wanted to get into markets. They wanted to showcase the talent and show people how entertaining women's hockey really is. So it's a huge milestone for Nova Scotia, and Toronto, Calgary, Montreal, and the newest hub, Boston, will all be there with their absolute star-studded rosters, and it's going to be super exciting. So we will continue to keep you up to date on that, as well as the NWHL. So something new here. They have officially changed their name. The NWHL does a complete rebrand in their seventh year, and they are now called the Premier Hockey Federation. So the Premier Hockey Federation is going to be what the club, or what the NWHL will be called heading into the 2021-2022 season. What does this mean? Well, from management and the commissioner, it reflects sweeping changes made in its management structure, coupled with an influx of private ownership entering in its seventh season. So they don't really get into a lot of detail as to who are, you know, these private owners, what their thoughts are. But it's, quote from the commissioner, "The league has come a long way since its inception in 2015, and we believe that this is the right time and the right message as we strengthen our commitment to growing the game and inspiring the youth." I have a lot of thoughts on this, I'm just going to read a little bit more just to make sure we all have context in what's going on, and then we'll kind of chat about it at the end. And they continue to go on and read, it really mirrors what we're doing. Everything about us is new. We're heading into a new era. The Professional Hockey Federation has teams based in Toronto, Boston, Mammoth Junction, Monmouth Junction, New Jersey, St. Paul, Minnesota, Danbury, Connecticut, and Buffalo, New York. After expanding into Toronto last year, the Toronto Six, the PHF has announced the intent to add a seventh team in Montreal for the start of the 2022-23 season. So they had on Madison Packer. For the people who don't know Madison Packer, an absolute OG in the league, has been it with the league since day one, captain of the New York Riveters, and just a really big advocate for the league. So she says, respectfully, I don't know if men always understand, especially for me, because I encounter it a lot, Packer says. We play the same size puck with the same size rink and the same nets. So to move that label not only removes it, but in the logo erase the W, I think it's empowering. So they went to her, obviously, she's been with the league since day one. And you know, she's got a lot of understanding of how the league got started. She's played on the team for however many years, and I totally get it. And everybody wants this to grow. The thing that I find interesting is the logo to erase the W is empowering. So within this too, they wanted to create a new logo and a new brand to make it genderless, to take the gender out of it. So for me, I've been a part of a lot of hockey in my life. Point blank, I will still be a fan of the Premier Hockey Federation. I will watch, I will encourage. I've coached women that play in the league. I'm a big, big fan of women's professional hockey. But that's what it is. It's women's professional hockey. I think having the W in there makes it empowering. What are we trying to trick people into watching? You turn on the Premier Hockey Federation and then you go, whoa, oh, it's actually girls. Why isn't it the Women's Premier Hockey Federation? So when you turn it on, you know you're going to see Madison Packer. You know you're going to see Kayla Friesen. You know you're going to see these incredible athletes that are women. If I'm a mom, which I am, but I don't have a daughter, taking the W out of it, I think it's empowering. I want my daughter, if I ever have one, to be very, very proud of wearing the W. And it's one of the things that I respect about the WNBA so much. They don't even call it the WNBA anymore. They call it the W. You play in the W. And for me, the identity of those women in that league is so deep. And it's so deep because it is women. And it is so deep because their brand is that they are women. So I am incredibly excited to see where this goes. I will still be a fan. I will still be buying jerseys. I will still be supporting. But I am supporting and being a part of it because I love watching women's hockey. Women's hockey needs to be in the forefront. It needs to be where people can see it more. because that is where the respect is earned, is when you are watching women play and compete at an incredibly high level. So do I necessarily agree with making it genderless? No, because in a way it makes it seem like we'll always be second. Putting the gender into me is empowering, because this league is made for women. And I totally respect the change. I totally respect all of this. And I'm really excited to see where this leads. And we will stay on top of it. But for me, I watched the NWHL because it was the NWHL. So, well, Madison Packer may be jumping on again, and I'll listen to her interview, and I can't wait to see where this league goes. I'm so excited to finally get back hockey back on TV. It's needed. These women need to compete, and when they were, unfortunately, when the bubble got shut down for them, that was some of the best hockey I'd seen playing in a really long time. So we need to get them back on ice. But this name change seems very interesting to me, and I cannot wait to see where it ends up, and making sure that we're keeping our eye on puck drop. That happens for the Premier Hockey Federation. All right, and enough with that. Now we are headed off to tennis. This ain't just your regular tennis. The U.S. Open this year was history-making. Leila Fernandez and Emma Raducanu from Great Britain, they absolutely stole the show. First, both of them being teenagers. Both of them not really being big names coming into this. Leila Fernandez ranked 73rd. Emma Raducanu 150th. Those two, U.S. final, all the way to the finals. It was incredible. Fernandez's odds coming into the U.S. Open were 200-1. Emma's odds, 100-1. Emma coming in as the only player, or the only player to ever reach a final as a qualifier. Like, and to put the cherry on top here for everybody, didn't drop a set. She did not drop a set the entire tournament. That is absolutely unheard of. Incredible performances by these two young ladies. Holy man. Like, you know when there's moments in time where you witness something and you look at those people and you're like, their lives will never be the same. Exact same feeling when Naomi Osaka beat Serena Williams in the final. You looked at Naomi and said, your life will never be the same. For these two women, their lives will change forever. Forever. Oh my gosh. It was just absolutely incredible. Backing up the train a little bit here, because there's so much that we have to get through when it comes to this tournament. First of all, Serena wasn't there. So just to bring everybody right back to the bare bones of it, Naomi Osaka announces a break from tennis. Gets knocked out in the round of 32 against Leila Fernandez. Bianca Andreescu becomes the player to watch. The U.S. Open champion in 2019 beats Lauren Davis of the U.S. in the round of 64. Greet Minnenin of Belgium in the round of 32. Then Bianca Andreescu goes against Maria Sakkari of Greece in the round of 16. And this was an absolute battle. And the word that keeps coming to mind when I think about this match between these two women is just creative. There was drop shots, slices, backhand cross shots. It had absolutely everything. Andreescu got off to an incredible start. And then ultimately leaving the court at the end of near the end due to an injury, a noticeable injury. And it just, that star-studded night in that moment took a very dark turn. Had to go back, had to be treated in the middle of the match. And after every serve, limping. After every sharp movement, limping. Bianca Andreescu, it became noticeable that it wasn't going to be her night. And, you know, Maria Sakkari takes it overall. And then she's up against number 4, Karolina Plzeňková, in the corner finals. Shelby Rogers knocking out Ashley Barty in the round of 32. But guess who she's up against next? Emma Raducanu. Nothing you can do. Takes her out into semis. Fernandez. And then we're back at Fernandez. The matches, people. The matches were so good. I couldn't miss one of them. It was absolutely incredible. Fernandez eliminating Kerber in the round of 16. It was insane. The game that really, really sticks out to me as one where I thought... So the semi-games were Fernandez versus Sablanka. Sablyenka, of Belarus. And Emma versus Maria Sakkari. So Sakkari and Sabalenka have been in, they've been in the, you know, in the tennis world for a very long time. They're ranked number 2 and number 17. Maria's mom was a professional tennis player growing up. Like, these two women are no joke in the tennis world. And so starting off with Fernandez versus Sabalenka, 19-year-old versus 23-year-old, Sabalenka came out on an absolute mission, up 3-0 very, very quickly. She was definitely giving off a veteran experience. She had been there before. She knew the walk, she knew the talk, she's ranked 2 overall. You know, she's not going to get pushed around. It was very noticeable that she was trying to be as aggressive, intimidating, trying to throw some curveballs at Leila Fernandez right off the bat. And then she gets up in the first set. Then Fernandez, it's like her court IQ is just off the charts. And the thing for me is she's 19 years old. She had her birthday pretty much while she was at the US Open. And it's like she's a 30-year-old seasoned veteran. She didn't get shook once. She stayed in the zone. She fed off the crowd. She was just an absolute professional, in my opinion. She obviously looked like an 18-year-old. She looked younger. Her physical stature. But it's like every time she got on that line, she was dialed in. So this one ends up going to 3 sets, an absolute battle. First set, 7-6, Fernandez fights back. Sabalenka, 6-4 in the second. And then Fernandez takes it. All anybody could talk about was Fernandez's strong, natural instincts. It's like something you've almost never seen. And then she gets behind the mic and she speaks like she's been there time and time and time again. It's just incredible. To me, the future of tennis was on the court playing against each other this weekend. That is going to be who everybody is going to be watching. And it was time, you know, it was time to have new blood come in, really shake it up. Emma Raducanu and Maria Sakkari in the semis, 18-year-old from Toronto, born in Toronto, is out of Great Britain, and 26-year-old from Greece. Raducanu, strong out of the gates, 3 games to love. Sakkari, actually, interesting, she had an apparel issue, and they weren't even going to let her go change until she's like, no, this is my serve, like, I'm going to change. It was crazy, like, it was just, she lost so much weight while she was there. Her clothes weren't even fitting anymore. It was crazy. But Emma takes the first set 6-1. And just, to be honest, Maria Sakkari, as much as she fought back into that game, Emma dominated that entire game from the beginning. There was a little bit in the middle where Maria was looked like she was potentially going to make a move to come back, but Raducanu just drove that entire game home, which led to the final of Leila Fernandez and Emma Raducanu. This was unbelievable to see. The biggest takeaway for me is that Emma didn't drop one set. Fernandez probably played 3 to 4 more hours on court than Raducanu did, and it showed. To go through an entire tournament and not drop a set, especially after the way that Leila Fernandez was playing and who she was playing against, you'd think that there would be a point where she'd be like, okay, enough is enough. This woman did not drop a set. I'm just absolutely mind blown with it. And the fact that she was a qualifier coming in, first qualifier to ever reach the US Open semifinal, let alone win it, into the semifinal. And then she wins it. Absolutely unbelievable. And like I said at the very, very beginning, it was one of those moments where you were looking at the TV and you said, there it is. There's the future. Those two girls' lives have officially changed. They've officially changed forever. So for me, US Open was the best, hands down, the best year I've ever watched. The women are competing at such a high level. And the fact that these two women went head to head, ranked 73rd, 150, weren't intimidated, stepped up to the plate, dialed in, didn't let the nerves get to them at all. Absolutely outstanding performance by both of them. It was history. It was a history making weekend. So that's enough of me chatting here. This is what I got for you this week. I cannot thank you guys enough for being here, listening to the Beauties Weekly Sports Talk. We will be posting the weekly lineup coming up here to get you signed up and lined up for this upcoming week. There is a lot going on. The WNBA final is just around the corner. The LPGA is back up in action again this upcoming week. We've got 2 WTA tournaments coming up and much, much more. So once again, if you do not follow us on Instagram or Twitter or YouTube, please follow, hit that subscribe button, learn and see and watch and be entertained by these women. It has been an incredible week, and we will be posting the weekly lineups. Keep your eye open for that. Thank you so much and have a great night.